thanks for coming out on this wonderful sunny day. I know you could be doing a lot of other things today, but I think it's important that we all gather together and bring our hearts together and our minds together with one intention or similar intentions. Anyway, I think it really changes the world. Speaking of changing the world, I'm teaching my cats to use the toilet. We're on month 8. It's taking so long, partly because they learn at different speeds, but mostly because we get to a certain point in their training, a certain threshold, the very last stage, and everything falls apart. For those of you who don't know, cats don't like change much, but the process is you bring the litter box first into the bathroom, you leave it there a couple of weeks, then you put it up on the toilet for a couple of weeks, then you buy one of those little systems where the donut hole comes out first, and then the increasingly larger rings come out. The goal being that the cats will, their front seat on the seat, toilet seat, then will sort of creep their back legs in so that all 4 feet are on the seat. And the business end sort of hangs over the bowl. That's the goal. So we get right up to the point where the back feet, the litter part is so small that the back feet should naturally sort of just hop up onto the seat. And then it's accomplished. Well, we get right to that point, and both of my guys, Archie and Reggie, are not making the transition to all 4 feet on the seat. And so we get to that threshold, and everything falls apart, and then they go crap on the porch. So I bought this system that didn't work. I bought a book, tried that process. We just keep getting to the same place, and then everything falls apart. So I even made a toilet seat, because these are big boys. And I didn't want them to fear, oh, they might slip backwards into the water, because that would be really, really problematic. So I went to Home Depot. I got a big 4x4 piece of, 3x3 piece of nice pine. I borrowed a jigsaw, cut the hole out of the middle, filed the edges. I varnished it to this glossy walnut stain. It's beautiful. It's like a big privy seat. All my clients come, they're like, what's with the toilet seat? Because I only have one bathroom in my house. But we get to the same point and everything falls apart. And the reason we're on month 8 is because we've been through this cycle a number of times. And so I finally decided, you know, I'm going to reach out to an animal communicator for two reasons. One, I want to be able to communicate to them what I want them to do and the confidence to do it and why. And also to find out, is this too stressful for them? Is it so unnatural? Are we getting to a certain point because, you know, they're just not ever going to do it. I'm not going to waste any more time if it's simply not going to work. So I told some friends of mine that I was going to talk to an animal communicator about this. I think I told two or three separate groups of friends in separate gatherings, and they all laughed derisively. And I thought, you know, I talk to dead people. It's entirely within the realm of possibility that somebody else can talk to an animal if I can talk to a person who's passed away. So I had my appointment with the animal communicator. And first she told me, which I suppose I knew on some level, but for animals, everything exists in the present moment. There is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. Everything is right now. And what I'm asking them to do, or whenever we're trying to communicate with an animal, we don't project into the future. We don't say, remember how you did that in the past. We just focus on what's happening right now. And she told me, and I didn't tell her that I'd been trying to telepathically communicate to them, because I heard cats think in pictures, so I had these visual pictures of all 4 feet on the seat. She said to me, they get the pictures that you're sending them, but they're frustrated because you're not listening to them. And I thought, well, I thought I was, but okay. And she said, the reason is for me, the litter box in the toilet is symbolic. For them, it's literal. My experience is that because I think in this symbolic way, that I can just, once I get them, you know, here's where the litter box is, I can just exchange it, and it should be easy. But for them, it's very literal. Next week, by the way, she also told me my cat's hips were tight. I don't know what to do about that. But next week I'm going on tour. I'm doing 4 cities down south. And over the course of a week, 4 spirit communication events. And Friday night, I'm looking forward to this, and, you know, it's a little stressful getting things together, but Friday night I had a dream. And when I woke up Saturday morning and remembered this dream, I thought, here is the dream. Here is the symbol for the literal. In my dream, it was the fourth event. The first three went beautifully. The fourth one, nobody was listening to me. I had this group of people, and I could not get the ball rolling. I couldn't get anybody to pay attention to me in my dream in this fourth and final event. You know, they were all chatting amongst themselves, or, you know, let's go to another room, let's do it in that room, no, let's go outside, no, let's come back inside. And it was very frustrating for me. So when I woke up in the morning and I remembered this dream, I thought, here's the symbol, the dream, for the literal problem, which is getting my calf, get to a certain stage. You know, here's one part of my mind explaining something to another part of my mind. And it's so extraordinary how the subconscious mind works, isn't it? Sixth sense, telepathy, interspecies communication, which is what they call animal communication now, intermind, intramind. But here was this perfect, the last night of my tour, the last stage in the litter box training. Nobody's listening in my dream. I'm not listening to my cat. So what's the point of this story? You might think it's about listening, but it's not so obvious. I don't want to be so simple as to remind us all to listen to each other and have enough self-awareness to see that messages that come in dreams might lead us to some solutions in life's problems. No, my point of my sermon today, what I really like to underscore, is that cats are impossible to train. No, really. What I'm really asking you to consider today is the gap between the literal and the symbol. If you happen to be in the symbol camp, like most human beings are, not all, but most, you're one step ahead, if I can put it that way, because you're already able to comprehend that there is a literal camp. A symbol, by its very nature, represents more than one thing. However, if you're in the literal arena, it's a whole different effort to make that leap over into symbolism, or even to understand that symbols exist. For my cats, the litter pan is a literal spot where they process their instinctual business. Scratching, squatting, covering over their waist, it's literal. It's built into their survival. For me, their litter pan is just representative of a place where I want them to poop. So if it's plastic, cardboard, on the floor, in the toilet bowl, it seems so obvious to me that this pan with sand in it just marks the spot where I want them to go. So gradually replacing that with a bowl of water seems to me like a piece of cake, right? But not if you're processing that piece of cake literally. In the intramind communication of my dream and the rational interpretation of my dream, I can experience both the literal and the symbolic. I can appreciate that and hold two perceptions in my mind at the same time, but cats not so much. Also, in my mind, I can experience the past through a memory, apply it to something that's happening in the present, and even project it onto the future. That's the way the human mind works. Cats, again, not so much. So since that conversation with the animal communicator, the interspecies communicator, I've been de-symbolizing a lot in my house. And not only in the way I'm kind of walking through my house and doing things in my house, but in the way that I spend time with my cats and my dog. And it's had a remarkable effect on my serenity, my clarity, and my spirit. Because I'm not rushing to place meaning on every little thing. I'm not anthropomorphizing my pet's actions so much. I'm seeing my cats for who they are as cats, and suddenly I have a kind of a different, expanded respect for them. Because I'm teaching them now without any expectation, I think for the first time, without an agenda or a future goal, and only with a present moment appreciation for who they are and their literal processing in the moment. And as a result, in the past few days, we're experiencing some really terrific success. I'm getting a lot farther than I have in the past 8 months. Because of this understanding and the almost immediate results that I'm seeing, I keep reminding myself to take in the information in my environment and in my relationships as it is right now, without looking any deeper or without seeking some subtext. without reflection on my previous experience with that environment or that person, and without any agenda for the future. And it's hard, and you know, it's not successful 100% of the time, but it is having an impact on my larger world. I check myself now when I feel my mind going into overdrive. It's by no means automatic and probably never will be, but what an experience. How often I've found myself backing up and reminding myself, as Ram Dass has said, to be here now. Internally, I've de-escalated arguments before they've even begun. I've de-escalated, stopped, reversed self-criticism, judgment of others, and my overall general menopausal quarrelsomeness. Having to operate in my own home in regard, at least in my own home, in regard to training my cats in present moment literal framework has done more for me than years of admittedly sporadic meditation. So I hope you'll consider this as a small challenge that has the potential to have vast impact, vast positive impact on your physical and mental health. If you have a pet, I recommend you start there. Start by just being in the presence of your cat or dog or other pet. I'm not saying don't interact, but rather just receive. Be quiet in your mind. If you catch yourself projecting or symbolizing something, try to stop and just take in that moment's data. Just observe, just witness. If you don't have a pet, think about one action you do daily, like brushing your teeth or washing the dishes. Try not to talk to yourself as you do it. Don't reflect on the day's earlier events or think about what you have to do next as soon as you're done with doing the dishes or brushing your teeth. Just for a moment, exist in that literal space and time. We'll probably never stop symbolizing, making references to past experiences and projecting into the future, because I don't think our minds are built that way. But our spirits are. Our spirits exist outside of time and literal space. By de-symbolizing or trying to experience brief moments of a purely literal experience, we let our immortal self out to play. And isn't that immortal self, that spirit, what we have in common with each other and with animals and with the deceased, with our creator? Isn't this the part of us that we're referring to when we say we are all one? When I'm doing my spirit communication work, when I'm doing my spirit communication work correctly, time disappears. When I'm teaching my mediumship development class, that 90 minutes goes by like that. Our spirits exist outside of time and place. We're all one. Blah, blah, blah. I've heard that forever. We're all one, that new age sort of. But I always thought that was symbolic, which is why I didn't really get it. It's not symbolic. It's literal. And it took teaching my cats to poop in the toilet for me to figure that out. So I'm going to leave you with a quote by Leonardo da Vinci. That the smallest feline is a masterpiece. Thank you very much.